Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson. Hello, friends. Producer Jim here on Catholic Sports View. And this week, Bob kicks off our first segment out at J. Sarah High School as he visits with baseball coach Brett Kay.
Coach, you're out here. We know there's one thing. There's no offseason in baseball. We're out here on the field right now. You just got through teaching a class. You've got camps going on. It's still a busy time, even in the offseason.
Yeah, I think, I always ask my wife what's my busiest time, and the summertime pretty much is. So we had youth camp this morning, and then we had incoming freshman camp. And, I was fortunate enough to be asked to do a catching clinic for a master's of coaching through Concordia. So it's been a long day, and I just got back from Fresno late last night from a tournament. So the summer is a fun time, but it's a grind.
Yeah, you mentioned you had the incoming freshman coming in. You think back now with everything that's happened with Royce, the past several weeks, getting the call, being the first overall pick, signing, going off to play pro ball. Give us your memories of when you first laid eyes on him as a ball player, and what your very first impressions were of him.
Well, I knew we were getting him, and he was playing on a team called the OC Bolts that was coached by our former pitching coach, Scott Wallace, who's now the head coach at St. Margaret's. And I knew he was coming to J. Sarah, and I was just evaluating him and coaching against him. And you knew all the pieces were there. And then he stepped foot on campus, and I tried to ease him in to kind of starting him on JV in the fall. And then he made it so easy because he was so athletic, and he was basically, we called him Bambi. Because he was just such a, I don't want to say a deer in the headlights, but there was so much athleticism and so many pieces to who he was. And then really, he hit .362 his freshman year, and the rest is history. I mean, he's the MVP of the Trinity League 3 years in a row, and he's, Gatorade State Player of the Year. Broke Orange County history with number one overall pick. So you knew the pieces of the puzzle were there as a freshman, and you just hoped to kind of stay out of his way, because he was going to be that good. And, but you wanted to kind of not put a stamp on him, but just help him become a better person, a better baseball player. And then once you found out, how good of people his parents were and how good of a kid he already was, that, like I said, you just stay out of his way.
Right.
We were fortunate and lucky to have a kid of that, talent, And I thought the Twins said it best when they drafted him. They thought the best talent overall in the baseball draft, but the best person too.
Yeah, I mean, that really goes into it, right? I mean, that's what we talk about when we sit down, and we've talked to you before about not only making good ball players here, but making good young men who go out into the world and become either pro ball players or business people or teachers or whatever it is they want to pursue in their lives.
Yeah, and you don't want to sound cliched, but I mean, we've had a slogan at J. Sarah to become the best version of yourself for a long time. And now that Royce is gone, you don't want to use that name too much and kind of overdo it. But I mean, you can use him as an example of how both go hand in hand of what we're looking for, what type of student athlete are we looking for? What type of kid are we looking for? Because we're just not going to accept any kid that's a great baseball player or a great football player. They got to be of high character too. And we want, Royce Lewis and kids like that to, hopefully to set that example for what we want at J. Sarah.
And maybe it's not even where you have to use the name. Obviously it speaks for itself. Royce Lewis, Austin Hedges, kids that are now in the major leagues going on and making careers for themselves. I mean, these are the things that speak for the program itself.
Well, I used that example today with one of my current players, and, we had a conversation about his role, and, I think he's got a very fine role coming into the next year, and I used Royce as an example. I said, hey, man, there's things that I really want you to focus on from the student-athlete experience of being a great role model on the academic side of campus, being a great leader on the baseball side of campus, and Royce kind of did that by example and was sometimes vocal about it. But I used it today, and I felt I kind of took a, step back and said, gosh, did I just use that as an example? You're no longer playing for us. And, so I got a little sad, but the same token, it's like, you look up in the sky and that Royce was a big part of our program and that, he was as fortunate. If you could use him as an example the right way, and hopefully that will rub off on some of the other kids that are in our program and coming into our program.
Right, absolutely. Brett Kay joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, J. Sarah head baseball coach. You mentioned wanting to stay out of Royce's way, but is there a fine line? Obviously, you see the God-given ability that he has, but you can be somebody that can help him get to the point he wanted to get to and that he's at now.
Well, the only advice I really gave him, besides having fun and enjoying the process of what was going on in the draft, is after he signed, I said, hey, man, use the stuff that we taught, you know, in regards to base running and things like that. Because I don't think that, you know, not that it's not well coached all over the nation, but I'm sure it is, but I think they can use that to his advantage. You know, it can use the shifts and working with infielders and catchers and knowing what pitches are being called and peeking inside of the catcher. Use that for his game. You know, Royce Lewis has his own staples on what he is as a baseball player. You know, if I could see something in a Major League Baseball game 3 years down the road on him stealing third and he took that away from Jay Serra, then that's just gravy for us. It makes us feel better. But, you know, we are not the type to say, you know, Royce is my kid and we put a stamp on him. No, this was all Royce Lewis, and this is all his family, and the learning that he took, you know, from Jay Serra each and every day. We just hope to be a conduit, you know, to enlighten his brain and expand his brain from the baseball realm, but the rest is his. We're not going to take credit for any of that stuff.
And is that really the true lesson for kids coming into the program now, the young kids, to say, hey, here's a kid with all kinds of crazy talent, and he was still willing to work that hard to get to that point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people talk about him moving from third to short or, you know, playing third base his first 3 years, you know, and his parents never complained. And, you know, he was a really good – he's a first-round draft pick as a third baseman. Right. You know, so I think that is the biggest message, is coming in with an open mind but really applying that information, because – you know, Royce is a kid, it took 30 minutes for him to figure out. But some kids, it takes 2 years or 3 years, and it's more of a process. So not only are we expanding them, you know, academically, but we're expanding them athletically, both their body and their mind.
There's always a debate, college kids versus high school kids, and some teams are more apt to draft one or the other. Being the level of baseball this is in the Trinity, is that worth more to a kid than maybe some other high school kid coming out somewhere else?
I mean, I'll be subjective, but I'll be biased at the same time. Yes, I think our league is the most competitive and toughest, and I think, you know, Royce is the, you know, I don't want to say above it, but, for example, when he faces really good competition, he's at his best. And, like, today, his first professional at-bat, he's facing a guy throwing 92, 94. We didn't see that much this year, but he goes home run in his first at-bat. You know, so the better competition, the better he plays. And, you know, it's really well coached in our league. And, you know, we had talked about earlier in the earlier segment about how well coaches and how much we respect each other. But Royce elevated his game above that. And, you know, like I said about staying out of his way, but you had to kind of school him and how teams were going to pitch him and things of that nature. So it's one of those things that's hard to kind of figure out, because you've got this kid that's been put on a pedestal by the media, and you want to enlighten him, but you want to, like I said earlier, you want to stay out of his way and make sure, you know, but he's getting the right information.
Right. Brett Kay, the head baseball coach at Jay Serra, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. We're talking about Royce Lewis, the first pick in the Major League Baseball draft, just graduated from Jay Serra recently. And, you know, you lead me into my next question. You know, the talking head people like I am, you know, we talk about all these kids, you know, endlessly, it seems like, you know, leading up into the draft. You know, we can talk about how mature an 18-year-old kid is, but it's still, we're talking about an 18-year-old kid, you know, so how tough is it to go through that process? And obviously his parents have helped, and you've helped along the way too, but there's extra pressure on a kid when he doesn't know where he's going to go, and then all of a sudden you get the call and you're the first person picked in the entire draft.
Yeah, I mean, Royce missed his driver's test because he flew out to Minnesota to sign with him on that Friday. So I thought that was kind of funny. And I know, like, our trainer was trying to teach him how to do laundry the day before he left. And, you know, so there's some things that he was missing out on, you know, some real-life experiences, because he was gone on Monday, or gone, and then he signed, and then he basically got shipped to Florida. So, but the coolest thing that I was talking to my wife about was when Royce did sign, and they had to do the press conference. It's like he instantly grew up, you know, in his press conference. And, you know, he talked about the Juicy Lucy and the Minnesota Nice and all those types of things. And here was this kid that was in my room, you know, or it was in my house or in my office, you know, a week before that. We're talking about, you know, girlfriend issues or, you know, sliders or whatnot. And here he is in front of the world as the first pick overall, talking with all these adults and the CFO and the CBO and, you know, for the Minnesota Twins, a GM and their scouting director. And you saw him grow up within an instant. And for me, that was one of the coolest coaching moments I had, because I was no longer his coach and he had to grow up very quickly. And, you know, so that's, like I said, that's a credit to Will and Cindy, his parents, and his, and how good of people they are and how they brought Royce up.
How much do teams, you know, come to you for information, not just the Twins, but other teams that obviously, you know, we're thinking about drafting Royce, you know, how much are they on the phone with you or back and forth?
They call me, the local scouts will call me, but a lot of them were directly with Cindy. I have some friends in the scouting world that I'd got information. You know, we had heard that, you know, Royce and all the mock stuff was anywhere from, you know, basically 2 to 5 and 6 and 7. And then really that Monday morning, the Monday of the draft, and the 1-1 stuff really picked up. Mm-hmm. So it became more apparent as we progressed throughout the day. But my report on Royce is I've never given such a good report on a high character kid. And, you know, they would call the principal, the headmaster, the dean of students, the counselor or athletic director, any of these types of people to find out information on him. You know, they're doing a background check because this is a high investment, and a high investment on Royce. You know, so they call and ask some things, but, I mean, there's not one thing. It was almost like they were astonished that I'm like, I can't give you anything that there's wrong with this kid. There's no social media, although he does have an Instagram now. But there's no social media, things like that. He's not, no negativity. And, you know, but it's good to hear that side of the pro side of how they break him down versus the side I would break him down.
Yeah. Is he ready for Pro Bowl?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, it's the best thing I could see is the Twins' second-round pick, or the pick after Royce was 36, I believe, or 35th, or something like that. And they picked Brent Rooker, who had an absolute unbelievable year for Mississippi State. He's 23 years old. Royce is 5 years younger than him, so he's got 5 years in essence. Now, they may push him, but Royce has got 5 years on him. You know, I'd like to see and think and believe that Royce has got 2, 2.5, 3 years, you know, in that system before he's a big leaguer. I mean, I think pro ball is a different type of game, and I've been there before, and you have to learn to grow up really fast. But that kid adapts to anything that's thrown his way, whether he's playing against Cuba and Mexico with Team USA, or he's in the perfect game, All-American game in Petco Park, or hitting home runs at Wrigley Field with the Under Armour All-American game. He adapts to his environment really, really well, and he's ready for anything that's going to be thrown at him in the next 3 to 4 years, whatever that is.
Yeah, quick break here on Catholic Sports U. When we come back, more with Coach K out here at J. Sarah. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're out here at J. Sarah High School, and we're visiting with Brett Kay, the head baseball coach at J. Sarah. We've been talking about Royce Lewis, the number one draft pick of the Minnesota Twins, the first overall pick in the entire draft. It was a little bit of a surprise, I guess, to see it finally happen that way. As we talked about previously, he was kind of talked about somewhere in the first 5 or 7 picks of the first round. When you finally heard he was the first overall pick, what was your initial reaction?
Well, you have to look at my Twitter feed, because I had a little party at my house with all of our coaches. Mm-hmm. Some guys could make it and some guys couldn't. We turned off all of our phones and turned off all the, you know, national media stuff, and we went crazy. I mean, we knew Royce was that talented to be 1-1, and there was a chance of that. And, I mean, it was, I can't even explain that feeling. I mean, he broke Orange County history, did something that's never been done before. Right. And, you know, for a place that is such a hotbed for Orange County, for baseball, Southern California, you know, Orange County in general. So that, I mean, it wasn't like, we were just so happy for him. I mean, we're going to retweet and tweet out, and, you know, we're so proud of him in that way, but it's all about him and what he was able to accomplish, and that some team really believed in him at 1-1. And, you know, it's almost like you want to leave him alone, you know, because I almost feel bad. I was telling Cindy and Will, I don't want to bother him, like, let him go. And, you know, but we're so happy. I mean, that moment was one of the biggest, most proudest coaching moments I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, the culmination of 4 years of what happened here at school. It's obviously very special. You know, obviously you turned the page on that era here at J. Sarah, but as we know here, there's no shortage of great players. You know, the next Royce Lewis could be coming through the door tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he's a once-in-a-generation type player. I mean, we'll be lucky to have him. I announced at our banquet that he's going to be the first number we're going to retire. And, you know, he deserves that honor, and I think it's a big honor. I think Austin will follow him with that. We may do something together. But, you know, you can always say you're going to have another Royce Lewis, but let's be honest of what he just did. Like I said, never being done before in Orange County history. Being a 3-time MVP, State Player of the Year, All-American Games, MVP, Team 15U USA, 18U USA, all these different types of things. I'd be hard-pressed to know if we're going to have another player of his caliber and that character. I would like that. I would love to have a million Royce Lewis's, but that's just really hard to find, and really, you know, someone that talented in both aspects of his life.
How much more room is there in his game to get to the next level, and you know, what's his ceiling as it goes?
Well, I think he has the highest ceiling in this year's draft. And, you know, I saw him, we lost against Foothill, and I saw him a couple weeks after. And I was amazed at how big he already had gotten after that loss. And to see his shoulders get bigger, his physicality get bigger, he's just going to get bigger, stronger, faster. His work ethic is just unparalleled. So, like today, first professional at-bat, home run, to dead center. You know, like that's silly. He's just going to get better. And he just turned 18 years old almost 2 weeks ago. So, really, I mean, this is a cliche. The sky's the limit. I mean, it's an untapped, potential that this kid has that's really, he's got a chance to be a special Major League Baseball player, you know, in the terms of, you know, the big names out there. And I hope he reaches it because he deserves it.
Yeah. You know, obviously we're talking about human beings here and kids, and you don't want to put it in the terms of a marketing type of thing. But, you know, let's face it, having the first pick in the draft, having a kid that's, a major league starting catcher right now, these are things that reflect well on Jay Serra and our marketing tools to help bring kids here. You mentioned Mark McGwire is going to send his son here to play baseball. I mean, those are the type of things that, as a coach, I mean, obviously you like to see to get attention for your program and to bring kids in.
Yeah, but you don't want to overdo it. I mean, I think there's a right there's a right way to do it, and there's a right way not to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you know, I feel, I'm not his parents, but I feel like at times I needed to protect him and after the draft and things of that nature, because you don't want to over-market it. You know, I don't want to over-retweet it, and I probably did already. It's more of me being happy for him and excited. He put his label on Jay Serra. We didn't put our label on him. He left being, you know, the most decorated player in our history, you know, so I think the baseball world and the South County and the state and national world know who he is, because every time it says Royce Lewis, it says Jay Serra Catholic, which is enough marketing for us. I'm sure we'll do some things, and, you know, from our perspective, but it's one of those hard things to touch, because now I feel like I need to ask Cindy and Will with their approval, like, hey, are you okay if we do this? We'd like to honor Royce. We'd like to do those types of things, because you don't want to overdo it, because it's just one of those tricky things in marketing that, you know, we're going to hang a banner and a rafter of him. I'm going to retire his jersey. Sure. Those are the right things to do it. But you don't need to write an article every single day, which if you look it up, there is an article written about him every single day.
Right.
And, you know, you just want to make sure it's the right article and you say the right things about him and that you don't overdo it, because it can be a touchy subject at times.
Right. You get to a point where you don't want to be like you're exploiting the kid,
yeah,
right, for his talent and what he's doing. Absolutely. As you get set now, we talked about turning the page on that era, and, you know, the things keep rolling here at Jay Serra, and I see you got kids out here, you know, working out, a couple of catchers, and you mentioned the new kids, you know, coming through. What does this new team look like for the 17-18 season coming in, which the school year is going to start in just a couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, we played this weekend, and it's a completely different team than what we've had the last 4 years here, but we're really excited. We scored 40 runs in four games, and mm-hmm. You know, we played really well. We've got some really good young hitters. We pitched extremely well. I'm excited. I'm excited always, but I'm at that point where I'm extremely elated to see this group come together. And then, obviously, you get this kind of excitement seeing our incoming freshmen in, because they're so young, and you have to install and embed in their brain so many different ways of what we do. But this is going to be a fun year with our field being ripped up. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's completely...
I just saw it come in. That was going to be my next question. But, yeah.
So we're excited for the next step. I mean, having Royce Lewis is one thing, and, you know, moving on from that is another. And, you know, we have to move on as coaches, and our players, the dynamic of our players, I thought this weekend was really fantastic and was really special to see. And, you know, we've got some new slogans and terminologies we use, and guys are buying in different ways. I don't think we're going to run a lot of offense, because I think we're going to hit really well, but time will tell, because we're really big and physical and we can do some things. So it's an exciting time for us, but I'm going to need a vacation here shortly.
Yeah. Before we get to the field, you know, it just dawns on me, you know, talking to Coach Barbara a couple of weeks ago over at Bosco, I mean, this Trinity League, I mean, we talk about it from top to bottom, but literally, I mean, Bosco was not a team a lot of people were talking about coming into this year, but once they caught fire and they got going, man, they really overtook the Trinity League this year. And that just goes to show you that any one of these schools at any time can come out of nowhere, and there's just plenty of talent to go around at all the schools.
Yeah, well, they had six Division I pitchers, and this league is a pitching mm-hmm. league. And, you know, we had a chance, you know, with the ups and downs of our season to be a league champion for the fourth year in a row. And we beat them game one, I want to say 6-3 or 6-2. And then they beat us by one run, you know, on that Tuesday. And we beat them on game three, which really didn't mean much at that point in time, more than it did for us, for them. So, yeah, I mean, anybody can win it at any time. I mean, it's, we got snake bit early in the season, and, you know, I thought we competed really well against Modern Day. I think we gave away a game there against Modern Day and Olu and had a chance. But it just goes to show how competitive this league is. I mean, yeah. I think last year the stat, I said that, you know, the league had 50 Division I guys in it. And it's as well coached, and there's so many good pitchers and position players as you're going to find in the nation. And, you know, it's the best in the nation for a reason. And that's me trying to be subjective. Yeah. And it really is competitive, and it's the best of the best. I mean, the South Coast League is great, and there's other great leagues around here. El Toro won the Division I championship without potentially their best pitcher on the mound. And, you know, the number one team in the nation was Huntington Beach that lost right. in the quarterfinals. Right. So, I mean, the baseball around here is so good. The Trinity League around here is so good. You know, the CIF's a whole different ball game, but the body of work that each Trinity League team does is pretty special.
Yeah. Brett Kay joining us here, head baseball coach at J. Sarah High School. Okay, your field, as I drove in, right, I saw it doesn't look like a field right now. Well, what's going on? What are the renovations being done, and what are the upgrades, I'm assuming, to the field that are happening?
Yeah, we're going all turf. You know, we used to be natural in the infield. The aprons were after turf, and the outfield was turf, but we're going to an all-turf, all-turf mound, all-turf home plate, all-turf infield. So it's going to be just like Tulane University. We kind of took their kind of design, and I really liked it. And so it's going to be less maintenance. It's going to be some upgrades to the bullpens and things like that, to our walls. And, you know, it's going to be, I feel like it's selfishly just such a great reward for the hard work that my staff has really spent and the coaches have spent, you know, my now going on my 12 years here. You know, so it's really special and near and dear to me to see this get done, because it was hard. It was a lot of work for us as coaches and players to get to this level. And now I feel like we're being rewarded in such a great sense. And the school is, I don't want to say the wrong term, maybe honoring us or just helping us out. I mean, they're really taking a big step in helping us with the football dynamic and the football field, the track and the baseball field. And then we've got some other projects with the capital campaign. And Rich Meyer, our president, Chris Ledyard, have just done such an excellent job on really getting that word out to the school and really making this, you know, one of the top schools in the nation. So it's really nice to see. Selfishly, of course, I'm excited about the baseball field, but I'm really excited to see where our school's going and the direction we're going on all things.
Yeah, right. I mean, new football coach, you know, new era is starting there as well. You know, things are good here. It's a good day to be a Lion, right?
Yeah, I joked around. I kind of changed my tune in the middle of the season about being a great day to be a Lion, and I said that word almost, you know, too much. But, I mean, it's really a great place to work right now, and we're excited about our prospects. And, you know, I had said earlier in our meeting in March about, you know, how well-rounded we want each athletic program to be, and our magnet programs and our teachers. And that's the most important thing, is that we come together as a community and, you know, our athletics. And then we have the football field having home games. And I felt the need to speak up at the council meeting there and talk about, you know, how much I appreciate this community of San Juan and this community of J. Sarah, and trying to bridge that gap between the two. You know, so there's a lot of great things going around about our school, and you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it, and I'm lucky to be a conduit for these student athletes to be able to, you know, participate in high school athletics and to be able to go to such a dynamic school.
Coach, thanks again for the visit, and good luck. Get a little rest this summer, and then get the batteries recharged, and season's right around the corner again.
I need a vacation. I do. I do. But thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. That's Brett Kay, the head baseball coach here at J. Sarah High School. We'll have much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and joining us on the telephone right now is Dan Albano. He's one of the senior writers over at the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com. Dan, thanks for taking a couple minutes and joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure. It's great to be with you this afternoon.
Hey, you know, we just wrapped up the Orange County High School Sports Awards, which your newspaper, the Orange County Register, they always put on a great show every year over at the Marconi Auto Museum in the city of Tustin. And what a great event it was, and I want to congratulate you guys, first of all, for putting on that event. And kind of want to talk about what it takes to decide who these winners are going to be, because it's quite an undertaking.
Well, it was great to see you out there, and it's a great end of the year party for high school sports, a great celebration. this is the time to celebrate. You know, at this time of year in June, you know, high school kids are celebrating graduations and moving on and promoting to the next grade. And basically what it takes is a lot of feisty debate amongst some dedicated sports writers at the Orange County Register that get in a room or get on a conference call, and we all go to bat and make arguments for the athletes that we cover and the ones that we know the best who think they deserve these prestigious awards, where we name our OC Athlete of the Year for girls and boys, and we also honor Athletes of the Year, boys and girls, for the smaller schools, the lower enrollment, you know, around maybe 500 kids or so. It's a daunting task, as my colleague Steve Fryer likes to say. He says that it's the all county teams and the all athletes of the year list are among the hardest things we do, if not the hardest things we do. And he also likes to say that these debates, they're great honors, but they also lead to more debate. The kids are worthy of it.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I was honored to be able to present the Trinity League Athlete of the Year to JT Daniels, but I can't imagine how hard it was to try to narrow down the Trinity League Athlete of the Year. I mean, you're talking about, you know, one of the, if not the best leagues in the entire nation here, and just wall-to-wall great athletes. How do you narrow that league down to just one athlete?
Yeah, it's a tough process. I mean, and JT Daniels, the modern-day quarterback who was just a sophomore last year, he was one of our contenders for the overall athlete season.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And, so he, you know, he ended up getting edged out by Hagan Danner,
right,
the two-way, the pitcher and catcher and really versatile player for Huntington Beach's baseball team. There's different ways to look at it. There's the theme of, one big theme is usually the multi-sport athlete. You know, is there somebody who can really excel at multiple sports? And at the Register, We respect the multi-sport athletes. They get strong points if you're able to make all county in multiple sports, or even to be an athlete of the year in multiple sports, or even if you're able to make second or third team all county in multiple sports. That really gets us a lot of respect, and that opens up our eyes. But then we also try to look at, do we really have some really unique and dominant athletes, and how dominant were they, and how impressive were they? And that's kind of what we had. A little bit this year, we had a really unique water polo player in Aria Fisher, Olympian, playing at Laguna Beach High School, coming back from the Rio Games last summer and then putting on a dominant showing in Division I at a very small Laguna Beach school in Division I and dominating that. So that was that dominance that came out. JT Daniels would be one of those dominant athletes where you had amazing statistics. You know, he'd throw in for almost 5,000 yards and 67 touchdowns and completing, about 75% of his passes. That was a dominant one. And then you had, Hagan Danner, the pitcher at Huntington Beach, was very dominant as a pitcher and as a hitter. But he also was a versatile kid that played a lot of different positions. So this year we seem to have a lot of dominance, but we also, there's a lot of good contenders out there. Next year there might be a multi-sport athlete kid that wins.
Yeah, you mentioned the multi-sport athletes. You know, I think of a kid like Sam Darnold, Rose Bowl winning quarterback, but the people outside of this area might not know that he was a dominating basketball player at San Clemente during his career there, too. So you're right. Some of these kids who stick it out and play a couple of different sports, that really means something in this day and age where you see kids really specializing these days.
Yeah, exactly. Great point on Sam. And Sam was our athlete of the year just a couple of years
right.
ago in San Clemente. And, Steve covers a lot of boys basketball, and he was Steve Fryer, my colleague, was very high on Sam, and we loved the way Sam played, and basketball skills really set him up for really helped him as a quarterback, and the way he can move the pocket and some of his athleticism. I think there was a recent story that came out about I think it was kids prospects in the professional draft, professional sports draft, and somebody was saying that the multi-sport athletes, it's really beneficial for kids to play in a lot of different sports, and I agree, this is the time to do it. But it's not for everybody, and I respect kids that you have a Royce Lewis, perhaps, that Jay Serra, he loves baseball, he's going baseball, he's trying to get it to major leagues or as best as he could, he just wants to play baseball year round. You got to, okay, go for it, kid.
Yeah.
But hey, if you're Sam loved basketball, is a very good basketball player, want to play some basketball, go for it. Whatever, this is the time you can make these decisions.
Dan Albano joining us, senior writer with the Orange County Register. I know the pool sports are very near and dear to you. You've covered the water sports for some time there at the Register. Is that something you enjoy that, or was that kind of dropped on you, and then now you've become the pool guy, so to speak, over at the Register?
I definitely enjoy it. It was an interesting way it happens in my career. You know, as a young reporter at the Orange County Register in the early 90s, I was still in college at the time at Cal State Fullerton, you know, working as a part-time guy, trying to work my way up. And one of the water sports beats was presented to me, and the Register said, "We need somebody to cover boys water polo, and do you want to do it?" And I knew very little at the time about water polo. I'd not really seen much of the sport in high school. I was a high school basketball player, spent a lot of time in the gym, went to a lot of football games. And I was a big baseball fan, but didn't know a lot about boys water polo. And I accepted that position, like any, you know, as a young reporter, you whatever they tell you to do.
That's right.
They tell you, to, you go, you know, if you know, cover a fire, cover a crime story, write an obituary, you know, go investigate this, you know, whatever they tell you, go get a cup of coffee, you do it.
You're just looking for a byline at that point, right?
Exactly. You're looking for some money, and you're looking for experience. And I fell in love with it. I was very fascinated by water polo. Little did I know, you know, Orange County is a hotbed of water polo, and not just high school water polo. It's the hotbed for, you know, national team and Olympic water polo. There's been so many Olympic water polo players. It's the very, very best high school water polo in the country is played in Orange County. So I covered water polo for a really long time, and then it came, hey, we need somebody to cover swimming. And then, well, you know, swimming's another hotbed area is Orange County, and amazing tradition, some great a legacy of Olympians have come out of Orange County from Janet Evans to so many Olympians like Amanda Beard and Aaron Pearsall, Caitlin Sandineau, the Missionville Natadors dynasty. So Orange County is a hotbed for swimming. It's been a hotbed for diving. So it's a great beat to have. It's led me to many adventures and on the aquatics beat, and I certainly love enjoying it. But I love all sports, but I definitely enjoy my time with the aquatics.
Yeah, for sure. When you mentioned earlier about the small schools, you know, and it's so true that for every story about the Trinity League, which is kind of easy pickings at times, there's always so many great stories out at say a Fairmont Prep or a Brethren Christian, you know, these smaller schools that don't always, you know, maybe Sage Hill, you know, a school like that. There's always great stories to be mined out of those little smaller schools as well.
Absolutely. You know, high school sports in Orange County are very deep. There's a lot of great schools. There's so many. You know, in a relatively small area, there's about 80 high schools in Orange County. And that's how you get kids like, you know, our small school male athlete here was another two-way standout baseball player, Brett Super from Sage Hill. They have a great baseball program, and he's been outstanding. Brett has very deserving kid, made one of the all-county teams with Steve Fryer's all-county baseball team that recently came out. And then Sierra Hall was just outstanding. Basketball player at Fairmont Prep, small school. She really took and led the Fairmont Prep girls basketball team to top level in Orange County. And, they were up beating Mater Dei and Brea Linda. And she was playing. And that was something really impressive with Sierra, was that she was, you know, elevated her game against some of these traditional powers in girls basketball. She played some of her very best games. So we really look at the competition, and you can't ignore that. And you have a kid like Sierra Hall, a smart girl, too, going to UC Davis. You see what she does against these powerhouses and how she's elevated her program. She was such a deserving player in the small schools. And I'm glad you mentioned Brethren Christian, because coming up this Friday is going to be the Orange County All-Star High School football game, which is going to be at Orange Coast College.
Right.
And the head coach for the South team is Pat McAnally, who's a legendary athlete out of Orange County. Came out of Villa Park High School, went on to the NFL. He's the coach from Brethren Christian. He's got several of his, about four of his Brethren Christian players on the team. And there's a kid from Crean Lutheran. There's a kid, one of the quarterbacks. Henjum is from Saddleback Valley Christian. So there's some small school athletes on that South team. And I'm looking forward to seeing them play, and I really think they're going to do well, and I think they're really deserving to get on this bigger stage of OC football.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, when you look at these small school players, right, they'll do just as big of things as anybody. You know, just because they're at a smaller school doesn't mean that they're not ready for the limelight. And we've seen kids from smaller schools go on to big collegiate, even professional careers.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun on Friday night. I'm looking forward to that game. And, you know, the small school athletes, as you know, I was at the South practice recently for the game, and you know, these are kids that are, you know, and their families that pick these schools for lots of different various reasons, you know, all across the spectrum. You respect the families for making their choices. The choice is theirs; they make it, and it's not their fault who they compete against. But they are very worthy, and once they get their shots, they often show. Well, like you said, you know, the way they ascend, you know, once they get their shots, they can do some pretty amazing things.
Yeah, so true. Stay right where you are. We'll have more with Dan Albano, reporter with the Orange County Register, right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this quick break. Here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. Dan Albano, senior writer with the Orange County Register, is joining us. He's got the high school beat. OCVarsity.com is one of the best sites to go to, even if you don't get the Orange County Register as a newspaper, and you should, for nothing else, for their high school sports section. But OCVarsity.com, just a wealth of information, and Dan's a big part of that over there. Dan, again, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. I kind of want to go over your career and what got you into sports writing. You mentioned you were an athlete in high school, and you went on to Cal State Fullerton. Did you always have your eye on journalism?
You know, I pretty much did. When I was in high school, I worked a little bit on my high school newspaper, and I wrote on some of the sports teams, and I did some contributions to my local community paper, which was a biweekly paper, the Saddleback Valley News out in down in South Orange County. And so I was writing about some of the lower-level teams in my high school, and I went to Cal State Fullerton because of their fine journalism program. It was came to the forefront under the former professor, and they had a lot of great professors and teachers there. But the advisor of note was Jay Berman, and I was fortunate to get a little exposure with Jay and obviously be part of the great program they had at Cal State Fullerton. And you know, along those lines that you're talking about, was when I got as a freshman, stepped on Cal State Fullerton's campus and went right to the Daily Titan as the school newspaper, and went to the office of the Daily Titan and found Jay Berman quite early on. And I asked him, "Hey, Jay, I want to start working for the Daily Titan. That's why I'm here. I want to be a journalism major. I want to get started." And he told me to, you know, slow down just a little bit there, son. And you know, you need to, you know, be a college student first. So take that first year and learn how to be a college student, get your grades, get your classes, learn how to handle things at the college level, and come back. And I did, and I had a great tenure at a great time. And during my years at Cal State Fullerton and the Daily Titan, I spent a lot of time out there, about 3 years strong at the Daily Titan. And I learned everything I just about know at the Daily Titan. My foundation was all set there, and I was able to have some areas of leadership and worked with some great professors and advisors there, and a lot of great colleagues. And there's many colleagues at the Register that are Cal State Fullerton alums. One of our top editors, Todd Harmonson, is from Cal State Fullerton. There's a lot of people. Steve Fryer is another one. At one point, you know, I remember I was in the newsroom at Cal State Fullerton one day, and an editor with the LA Times, who's probably a Cal State Fullerton grad, I'm pretty sure, was saying, "Hey, we need guys to come, kids, college students to come answer phones at the LA Times in the sports department. Does anybody want to come over and earn some money and learn?" And I was one of the guys that said, "Yeah, of course." And you know, these small opportunities to answer phones and to be around other professionals who start to teach you the ins and outs of the newspaper business, and then you get some, and then it leads to little opportunities to write some articles, to cover some games, to, you know, do some shadowing. And then you can land a job and kind of keep progressing. So I always wanted to do high school sports in Orange County, and I've always really been attracted to the way the Orange County Register treated high school sports. I always felt like it was a great place to cover high school sports because, you know, the Register gave it such a prominent, enthusiastic coverage.
Yeah.
And they really treated it so well. So that was something that was, you know, very attractive. I thought made the Register so different. And, you know, and then the way they built the community through that. So that was something that I always really wanted to be part of.
It's so true. I mean, in the ever-changing landscape of high school sports, covered by newspapers, I mean, it's Steve Fryer, yourself, Eric Sonheimer, and Frank Burleson, I think, are the four names who have been around, I think, the longest, kind of the four of you really covering high school sports here on the newspaper side for so long. It really says something, especially in today's newspaper landscape, as we know, it says something to have longevity in that business.
Well, you're putting me in some esteemed company there. Those guys are all legends and have been doing it longer than me and better than me. But you'd be mentioned with those guys. I have a lot of respect for all those guys, and they do a great job, you know. And obviously, Steve being the guy that I know the best. And the newspaper business has definitely changed. There's been, you know, there's been many layoffs and ownership changes. And so it's been a challenging industry. A lot of the colleagues that I've worked with are no longer with us. And there's some survivors that have made it a long time. And some, you know, I went back a few years ago. I went to, Cal State Fullerton and the Daily Titan had an anniversary dinner and a big celebration. A lot of my ex-students and my old classmates, they weren't in the field of journalism. They were in related fields or had gone in different directions in their careers. So I feel very fortunate to have done it as long as I have done it. And I still really am excited and driven to do it. And, we've had to learn some new skills. We've had to be flexible. You know, we've had to roll with the punches. All of us with high school sports, you know, I'm sure yourself included. I mean, we're doing this for the love of it. We're not, a wealthy endeavor where we're becoming millionaires. And, you know, and I'm speaking just like a lot of the high school coaches. They're doing it because they like to be around kids. They're not, for the most part, you know, some of them are teachers, but a lot of them, I mean, the time that they put in, these coaches put in so much more time than they're obviously compensated for. And because they like to be around kids, they like to help kids, they like to, it helps them stay young, they like the competition. And they're doing it out of their heartfelt motivations, you know, real good pure and motivations for the most part. So, and I like to think that's, you know, that I, you know, I also like to be around high school kids, and I like to talk to these kids on their way up, and a lot of the life lessons that they learn, I like to hear some of the motivations behind their triumphs, and sometimes they overcome a lot of things as well.
You're exactly right. It's such a fun beat. I mean, like yourself, like so many others, we've all gotten a chance to cover some collegiate and professional sports over time. But I'll tell you, the high school beat, there's nothing like it. We're all looking for a good story. You know, we all want to tell a good story. That's what we got into this. And there's always so many good stories every year in prep sports. It's just amazing how it works out that way.
Yeah, like you, I think that's what you said at the our awards banquet. That when you were presenting JT, that you like to tell stories. And I like to tell stories, and I like to be around these stories from young, enthusiastic boys and girls, you know, that aren't jaded yet by money, that are playing for the joy of the game, to be with their teammates, see what they can accomplish, how far they can push themselves. You know, there's some kids that do some amazing things as scholar athletes as well. And there's some smart kids out there that go some incredible places. And I'm blown away. I mean, one of the ones from the Trinity League that I had a really nice chat with recently was our swimmer of the year, the girls swimmer of the year from Santa Margarita, Samantha Shelton, who won the award for the second time in a row. And, you know, she's got a GPA well over 2.0. I mean, it's to be 4.0.
Yeah.
That wouldn't, 4.0. I think it was 4.2 or something like that. But, you know, she's an outstanding swimmer, swims year round in a club team with the Nadador, swims for Santa Margarita. And then, you know, she's also studying Chinese. She's taking some, you know, high level classes for business and has a business sense in Chinese. And it's amazing what these kids can accomplish. And it was great to hear the resolve and determination of some of these these young athletes. You know, the young people can do some amazing things.
Yeah, those are the stories that are fun to tell. You're absolutely right. You know, you mentioned you were the young guy, you know, once upon a time, and I'm not trying to say you're old. You know, we're all getting there, but we're all still young at heart, right? But have you had the chance to become the mentor now? You mentioned the people who mentored you. You know, you're at that point in your career maybe where you're able to mentor some other young reporters who are looking for your counsel and your advice on how to get into this business.
I have done that, and I like to do more of it. Whenever I have a chance, I definitely see the value in that and something that I want to do. And, you know, there's been times over the last couple of years, you know, I'll have a shadow reporter with me. A young reporter will come out to a football game, and I'll show them how I cover a football game and how we keep stats and how we get the story in the paper and what you have to do. And I've enjoyed doing that a lot, and that's a lot of fun where you get to give back. And, you know, I've done a couple interviews with, you know, some kids that are doing college projects, you know, and the last one I talked to was a student at Saddleback College with the Lariat paper. And, you know, he's doing it, and, you know, he's interested in journalism. And, you know, he'll talk to me about our operation at OC Varsity and how we do it and how I got started and what kind of the job is like. And they asked some good questions about the pros and cons, and they're very realistic. You know, how much money do you make? You know, what kind of benefits do you have? What are the pros and cons of your job? What do you like? What don't you like? You know, what's the longevity? What's the, you know, what's the digital presence? How are you trying to survive with your job? What's the outlook like? And I like answering all those questions and being honest with them. And I think that's one of the things that journalism does well. You know, like I said, I got some great mentors. I was able to do some internships and start working at a young age. And I think as a whole, as an industry, journalism is very welcoming. And I think, you know, you ask, you know, young reporters, young kids interested in journalism. I think you talk to any writers, they'll be willing to help you and give you some tips. And I'm always looking to do that. You know, whatever I can do to help kids get internships, get them in the right direction. We try to help people join this crazy profession. Which is sometimes daunting and sometimes doesn't look the great, the outlook sometimes doesn't look that good. But there's a lot of different venues, and, you know, kids like to write, and they like to be part of the media, and we're trying to be more very digital, and yeah, there's a lot of kids that are interested in that as well.
Yeah, it's so rewarding. It really is. Well, Dan, I know football season is right around the corner for all of us. You're the Trinity League guy over at the Register, so we'll definitely be talking to you down the line. Want to thank you for coming on and spending a few minutes with us here on Catholic Sports U, and we'll be in touch and we'll be talking as we get closer to a brand new school year, which is just around the corner.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure, and I would wish you a great summer. And I would love to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely. That's Dan Albano, senior writer with the Orange County Register. I want to thank my guests this week. If you want to catch this show or any of the others here on Catholic Sports View, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio. Click on the link, and you can look at all the shows we've done over these past several months here, as we've had a lot of fun bringing you a look at the Trinity League here on Catholic Sports View. My name is Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.